on one thing and be make it where everybody can be communicating. So once we kind of look at that, we'll present that to your church and let all y'all look at it and see that. Another thing is, as far as youth goes, we are moving and looking in direction of the youth. Last Sunday, Jared Paul covered the youth class. This Sunday, I'll take care of the teaching, and it's not going to be boring. It won't be boring, and I want to hear from some of the youth. So y'all, youth kids, encourage other youth kids to be there this Sunday. And then I'll talk to the church once I get some details worked out with that. The other thing I need you to be praying about is, you know, we talked about, or I talked about, does church want to, like, look for a country to pray about and pour into mission-wise and that kind of stuff? I said, you know, we talked about choosing one country a year where we really pray about, invest in, pour into that mission work into that country. Do we want to do that?
Yes.
So, yes.
What about us going on a mission
trip? Yes, that would be part of it. If you want to, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, anything like that is what we're kind of trying to talk about doing. And
so we're going to pick one
that's warm and sunny? Well, we can. We could. I'll give y'all some thoughts, and honestly, I would rather y'all just kind of pray about it and choose however the church wants to. It don't matter to me. You know, you could take, we could say, all right, for 1 year we want to work with one of our missionaries. You could do the Shields in Alaska. That would be kind of an easier one to go to on a mission trip because it's in, you know, it's in our country. or we could do, I know that Big Lump's involved in two different mission works. One's in Uganda, one is in India, and I've been talking with him and listening. And he's going to India this year. So I don't know about India, sister. What that'd be up to you, but. Yeah, they're going in March, end of March. So, and one thing, if we got involved with that for a year, if nobody else went, you know, Lump's putting boots on the ground, and he's worked with that. He's been involved with that for about, I think, 3 years now in India. And then, so it really, yeah, I absolutely. Yes.
Orphanage.
Yes.
It's going to house an orphanage and widows. So many widows that are also going to be like the over the children, help with the orphan and all, orphanage and all that. So that's what they're finishing up right now.
Yeah.
Is that facility, and they're hoping the end of March somewhere in there they'll be finished up with that.
That's a good work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's huge. They're going to have they've got 50 preachers over there in that network, and so they're going to have they're going to open when they open that all of those 50 pastors are going to have a convention there to open that building up.
Yeah. So, and in 2 years they've planted 50 churches.
Yes.
So that would be one to consider. If y'all want to hear about that, Lump could come and kind of present that and talk about that, or it doesn't matter to me, I'm going to be honest with you. It's just whatever we want to do. And basically, here's what my thoughts. These are just my thoughts, okay? My thoughts. You know, here's where I'm at on benefits. When the church does a benefit, biblically, the church never asks the world to support the church. Okay, we don't go out and go, hey, we're going to ask for offerings from the world. Does that make sense? Biblically, the church takes care of the church. And so as long as you're offering a service, the people are getting something, it'd be like we've done garage sales here. You know, if everybody went, oh, let's put together a church garage sale, and we'll take the money and we'll give it to the mission. That's good. People are getting something for their money. We're not asking for handouts from the world. So I would love to have a benefit team, people here who go, I want to be a part of a benefit team, that your whole purpose is to put together benefits that we are solely trying to put together money to invest in this mission work, whatever country y'all come up with and to settle on, or whatever mission work, and we would really try to pour into that country through that. Or, you know, I've told people, and these are just ideas. I know everybody gives, hopefully. If you don't give, you get your heart right, start giving, okay? If you ain't got no skin in the game, you ain't got no complaint in the complaining. So anyhow, I'm not saying, all right, give more. I would rather people pray and go, all right, God, if you want me to give to this mission, then show me some way I can do extra. Like for me, I would be like, all right, Lord, the next job you provide for me, you know, in construction or whatever, all I make on that job, I'll give to that mission. And I'll pray about that. And then when God gives me a job, then I would stick with my commitment to the Lord and I'd give that money over and above. Does that make sense? You can do whatever. If two or three of you want to go, hey, let's go together and buy a car and fix it up and sell it. Let's two or three of us go together and you know, anyhow, you know what I'm saying. Outside, you can be creative, however. My only thing is I just ask that people get either a service or a product for the day. If we do a fish fry, you know, Michael was talking about a shrimp bowl and plates, people are getting something. So we can advertise it, make it big. I don't care. I think bigger. I'm like, big as you want to make it. So fishing tournaments, we'll donate the proceeds to the, however you can make it fun. I would like to have a team of however many people, five or six people who want to do something like that. You want to be a part of it?
When you get done.
Okay.
I do want to be a part of that. I have to tell my faith when you get done.
Okay. And then, you know, just kind of keep the church informed, and then we could, that way the church can help build it up. What you got, Miss Janelle?
So if we're going to do this, like, for another country, for a mission, like, could we pray about, we have so many hurting people here. Mm-hmm. Could we pray about
We can design something like that along with this. I'm open for anything, you know, truth. Yeah, I'm all about that. This is kind of more geared towards focusing the church on missions, I guess. And I'm all about what you say too. Yeah, we can do something like that. Or if we wanted to, if the benefit thing worked good, I mean, we could be like, all right, y'all, if y'all want to do this for the community, let's do that. We got that deal coming. Chad, this Sunday we got a man coming with something like that benefits the community. And so, yeah, I'm open to anything that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. Yes. So if you're interested in being on that team, if you want to tell me after church, we'll kind of put some stuff together and move forward with that. Remember Christy Fussell? She's really been sick, and then she was getting better. Nathan had to take her back to the hospital tonight. She's battling that. And then last week was praying for James Shield. Some of y'all contacted James. He's our missionary in Alaska. You know, we said last week his son took his life, and that's been very, very difficult for them. James hadn't been communicating, but now he's starting to communicate with me, and he actually sent me a text this week. Some of y'all texted him. That was excellent, excellent. And you text him? He answered, all right, good. That's good. If you hadn't texted him, just encourage him or his wife. Boy, they need it. And but he did say he's going to a leaders summit here pretty quick. I was like, good, you know, good. You're moving again, you know, you're moving again. And so, but this week I'd like to pray for James Taylor. In Colorado, he's our missionary in Colorado. Man, if you haven't got that letter, you know something I've tried to get started, it hadn't really took off. If anybody wants to, every month we get letters from our missionaries, and this month we got one, you know, from James Taylor. Anybody's welcome. I'll leave it up here. You're welcome to read it. If it was to be on your heart to go, I want to take care of our missionaries. It would be awesome if I had one person or one couple who could Terry gets these every month. He could bring you the letters. All you got to do is read through them. And if our missionaries need something, you could just inform the church. Go, all right, you know, Brother James Taylor in Colorado, this is what's going on. You know, even if we do it at our business meetings or on a Sunday morning, James Taylor in Colorado, this is what's going on. He asked prayer for this thing. Just hit the highlights, and they have a need if we can meet that need. That way, church kind of knows what, you know, where your money's going. We support these missionaries, and we want to pray for them. So if any couple wants to do that, I've asked five different couples, and anyhow. So it's awesome because his.
I want to do it. We'll do it.
We'll let them do it. You got a lot going. All right. Terry will give y'all our mission letter, the hams. And y'all.
The website that y'all do, we can put that letter so everybody
yeah.
can read
it. Yeah, that'd be good. I'm ignorant of that. So yeah. that's not my scheme. But we could imagine that could be done. Anyhow, they started off in like we talked about, doing a Bible study. That's all they did. They went to Colorado. She went to work for the Y, wasn't it? Yeah. And he's in the military, so he's a chaplain in the military. He got involved in that, and then he's involved in QA. They started inviting people over to the house, two or three. Now they've been over there about 3 years, I think, three or four years. Time flies by. But anyhow, now, when you see the pictures, their house is full of people, and then now they're branching out. They found a building. They've been redoing. I'm like, man, that was cool to see it start from original work, and now you see it branching out. It's a really good pattern, you know, to follow as far as church plants go, but thank y'all for taking that. If you have your Bible, before we get started, let's pray for tonight, and let's pray for Christy Fusso, and then lift up James Taylor as our missionary. Who wants to pray on that? Not everybody fight over it. All right, go ahead, Dave. Yeah. Yeah.
We went to a wedding.
Cool.
I can tell you a story about it.
I think we went through that last year in that nightmare of a trip we went on. Yeah. Yeah. What's the big city that it's outside of?
Denver.
Okay. All right, so last week we started studying on leadership in the church, specifically pastors. So if you're here, last week was the first study on that. I'll give you a quick overview of where we went last week. We looked at the meaning of the word pastor, bishop, and elder. Same thing. The common understanding is that the pastor or pastors are overseers of the church. That's the word used for in the Greek for pastor, bishop, and elders, an overseer. And the verses we looked at was Acts 20, 28, Acts 14, 23, and 1 Timothy 3, 1. I'm going to go quick through this because it's just rewind. So the pastor's role is to lead the flock, feed the flock, defend the flock from false teaching and false teachers. Our sole purpose is to look after the spiritual well-being or the spiritual health of the church, of the local church that God's made us overseers of. You know how weird it is as a pastor to stand up and teach on pastors? So anyhow, this is awkward for me. if I move too quickly, and let me say this tonight, this is for questions. So if y'all have any question, no question, stupid. Everybody's like, I don't want to ask a question, I'm going to look stupid. You look stupid anyhow. So anyhow, let's just ask the questions. I'm kidding. But if you have any questions, it don't matter if it goes along with what I'm teaching, you know, on pastors or anything, please. That's what we're doing this Bible study for. I love questions. And if I can't give you an answer, we'll figure it out. We might all have to study it together. But that's what we're trying to do in this, is not me stand here and lecture, but for you, if you have any questions, you know, to ask that. So ultimately, you know, last week we talked about how pastor's placed in his position. I honestly went back and studied this week on the voting thing. There is not one place in the Bible that talks about a vote. There's not one. The only place you see a vote in the Bible is when they voted to stone Stephen to death and Paul held the cloaks. Other than that, it's not there. Now, there's nothing that says, you know, it's against a vote. When we look at, you know, we talked about how Paul told Titus to go through Crete and appoint elders in each church. You see that word appoint used, or the same word ordain is used as appoint. And so this is where my thing is. I believe biblically, me and another brother talked this week and had a great conversation over that study, but biblically, it would be the best way to go about it is if like as a pastor, me or Willie, we would be discipling up a young man who would, if we, you know, fall over dead or whatever, leave, that young man would be discipled, mentored as a pastor to be able to, with the agreeance of the church, to step up into that position or that role. Does that make sense? Leadership should always be developing leaders. We should always be trying to, that's what discipling is. You're just building leaders, people who are ready to serve in the church at whatever capacity. So last week we finished up with the removal of a pastor. I'm going to teach y'all how to ditch me if you need to. We won't go into the we looked at last week. Number one, be a false teaching, unrepentant. Let me say unrepentant, because I've been a part of a lot of churches, and it seems like there's two standards. There's a standard for membership, and there's a standard for the pastor. If the pastor makes a mistake or he does a sin, automatically he's booted. Whereas if it's a member, like, hey, don't we get a second chance, third chance, fourth chance? You know, we go like. I realize maybe there's some things that a pastor could do that where he would need to step down from his position. But sometimes that pastor needs an opportunity to repent and continue to serve in that role. And so false teaching. Also, the church should be very gracious. We'll look at that. Very gracious towards a pastor, because understand a pastor, I don't have a phone to God. If you do, I'd like to talk with you after church. And so I don't have, you know, what I try to do is I pray a lot. I look at God's word. If it's not in black and white, I pray a lot more and I try to make right decisions. I always seek higher counsel. Why? Because the Bible says in the multitude of counselors, wisdom is established. I have a group of men who are way higher than me, you know, as far as serving the Lord and their knowledge of the Bible. I call them on decisions. I consider and listen to their counsel. I listen to people in the church, because God speaks through the body. And so in that, so what I'm saying is preachers can stand up and say something that ain't right. In the ministry, I've been in ministry 30 years. I've corrected that publicly, and don't bother me at all. If I say something that I come back and go, ooh, I need to correct that, I'm going to humble myself before the church. But sometimes it takes a minute to figure out you said something wrong. And sometimes there are people who are like, he said this, gun him down. I'm like, hold on a second. You know, I promise you, if you get up here and you speak long enough, you're going to say things that ain't right. And so we put your billy clubs up. I'm not saying y'all have that, but I'm like, we should have a great spirit towards one another. And then, so we looked at that last week, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Then this is the last review, and we'll start something new. We talked about if your pastor is a dictator, leading with an iron fist. You know, we looked at that in 3 John 9, 10. You don't need a dictator leading with an iron fist. And then this week we're going to look at the third thing that is a possible removal of a pastor is neglecting the purity of the church in doctrinal teaching. Let's look in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2.
Neglecting purity, what?
Neglecting the purity of the church, letting a lot of, as far as the doctrine of the church. Do you understand doctrine? The word doctrine means teaching, Bible teachings. That's all it means. It's not rules and order we come up with. Doctrine is pulled out of the scripture. Our doctrine is simply what we believe of the scripture. So when you look at Revelation chapter 2, now you remember this is Jesus. He's coming to judge the seven churches in Asia. There were seven literal local bodies there in Asia. And when he addresses the church, I want you to notice who he speaks to. He says or each one, well, we won't look at it tonight, but I'll just go ahead and give you the answer. When he calls the church into account, he's addressing the pastors of the church. He doesn't go to the whole church. He comes to the pastor. And we'll see this tonight. You know what? You know who's going to give an account for what happens in this church? I am. And that brother right there is. We're going to give an account for everything that goes on in this church. And No, by no means.
But it should be a fearful thing. If I wasn't doing what the Bible says to do, it would be a fearful thing for me to stand before that God, before God, and have him make me give an account.
Yeah. Honestly, for me, this study kind of made me look at some things and go, I might want to tweak a few things that we do, because if I'm going to have to give an account for it, I'd like to know what I'm giving an account for. Does that make sense? So in this, he's speaking to the pastor of the church in chapter 2 and verse 18. Says, to the angel, that's the pastor. Not that we're angels, but the word there in the Greek is a messenger. To the messenger, the pastor, the leader of the church in Thyatira, right? These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, feet like undefined brass. That's judgment. He's pointing out, I know your works. Let's see what he looks at. I know your works, your love. We judge how we love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow. Notice what you allow that woman Jezebel. Remember, Jezebel was an Old Testament woman who was. She's a picture of wickedness, false teaching, false prophets. It says who calls herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. So you had this lady in the church who was calling herself a prophetess, and this pastor was allowing her to teach and influence the church into sinfulness, immorality. And the pastor was sitting back and he wasn't addressing that. Okay? If you have a church that allows things to go and the pastor does not address those things, then the church needs to address that pastor. Please, by all means, understand how to do that, okay? I don't want 50 phone calls. Not that I think we're doing that, but one of the places we address it from is right here, okay? And I'll preach everything the Bible has to say. It doesn't bother me. I'm going to try to always do it in love and humility, but the Bible says some very hard things if we're living in sin. And it comes a point in time, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, we're going to look at later, to where individual people in the church have to be approached if they're doing something that is causing discord and sinfulness and leading the church in a direction, okay? I'm not talking about policing. I'm not going to police the church and go around knocking on the door and say, hey, I heard you was doing this. I'm not talking about that. Everybody sins, okay? But we don't condone it in our lives. I'm talking about a sin that is moving the body in a wrong direction. Like it talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where it's causing the church to be in an uproar. Whether it's mainly what Jesus is talking about is false teaching, the dangers of false teaching. Do we understand that when you change the gospel slightly, and I had a discussion with somebody here a couple of weeks ago about this, and I said, I'm not talking about people. In America, church, we've been taught that it's wrong to say that something's wrong. That's what you can't say that's wrong, because all of a sudden, because they think of Aunt so-and-so or Uncle Bob or somebody who's involved in that false teaching. And I'm like, when we speak of a different faith, we're not talking about individual people. We're talking about the teaching of that faith. And in trying to prove my point there, I pulled up the doctrinal, the belief system of that denomination, which says it is required for salvation for baptismal regeneration, for the washing away of sins. That means this denomination believes you are not born again, even though you repent, trust in the gospel of Jesus, you have to be baptized to wash away your sins or you are still lost. That, my friend, is very, very wrong. And I'll call it for what it is. It's a false teaching, and if one teaches it, he is a false teacher. That's just Bible. If you see it another way, I'm open to hear it, but that's just Bible, and it's very simple. And a lot of people have a difficult time calling, you know, an apple, but I'm like, we're called to stand by the truth of God's word, and especially if I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account, I'm going to call it for what it is. And I'm not attacking, I'm not belittling, I'm not judging, I'm reading the Bible and going, this is what it says, that's what Jesus did, that's what Paul did, that's what we should do. Not picking individuals. I can't judge a person's heart. I can absolutely judge the teaching.
Are there some people's Bibles that say these different things, and that's why they believe those things?
No, it's just man's interpretation. Years and years ago, teachers started that, and it was just let go. They gather a following, and next thing you know, 50 years later, you got a whole different faith. Yeah. Yes. 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 Pull it out of context. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Luke chapter 2, I taught this last week. Where we talked about baptism for remission of sins. What they're talking about right there is when a Jew, when a Gentile wanted to become, go into the Jewish faith, he had to do that. He had to be baptized for the remission of the sins. And if you don't know the culture and you don't know all of that, you'll take that out of context and you'll say, well, everybody has to be baptized for the remission of their sins.
Right.
That's untrue.
Right.
I
watched a video. I let my wife watch it. I said, I want you to watch this because some people think I'm just hard-headed, and I ain't, unless I need to be. But I watched a video, and it was this guy's name is Charlie. He's on Facebook a lot. He's a politician type, but he's a believer and he's an advocate for the faith. And he has a microphone in the crowd, and this young man walks up there, and the young man says, do you believe you have to be baptized in water to be saved? And they kind of talk there for a little bit, and so this man speaking says, let me give you a scenario. He said, let's say there's a 95-year-old man who is on his deathbed, and he comes to the knowledge of Christ, and he repents, trusts in Jesus as his Savior. There's a true conversion. He believes, repents, calls out to God. You know, salvation takes place, but it's impossible for this man to get out of that bed and be baptized. Do you believe that the Lord will reject him when he stands before him? He went through the scenario and said, I don't believe that's enough. If he's not baptized, he's not going to make it. Bingo. And so here's why I say you have to really be careful. I know, listen to me, I got friends and family in every denomination. But just because people say they believe the gospel, ask them what gospel they believe. Yeah. And if they don't believe the same gospel, not according to me, but according to Galatians chapter 6 or chapter 1 verse 6 through 9, if it's a different gospel, Paul was so unpolitically correct, he said, let him be accursed. Yeah. Now, when you read that, you interpret it however you want to. But here's the thing. What we've made is we're like, well, love means we accept everything. If your kid is going to a highway and he's going to get hit by an 18-wheeler, love doesn't go, I don't want to scream at little Johnny because he might, you better do something. If you love, you better do something. And if we treat everybody who says, I'm a Christian, without calling them into the truth and checking on them, what we're doing, we're just going to love them to hell. Because in reality, if you believe that, you're not, I can tell you this, scripturally, if you're trusting in water baptism, you are not born again.
That's right.
If you're trusting anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because basically what that young man said, I do not believe that the shed blood of Jesus Christ is enough to, for the remission of sins, even though the Bible teaches that 100%, I don't believe that. So that's why I stand where I stand. And let me say this, because a lot of people go, hey, he's up there. I've heard so much in the last little bit. So let me clarify this. I am not saying, please don't ever say what I don't say. But I am not saying that, oh, you're saying y'all the only ones? No. Did I say that I thought we were the only ones? I believe the only people who are going to be in heaven are the people who hear the gospel of Jesus. They believe it with their heart. They repent of their sin, and they trust in Christ and Christ alone for their atonement, and the Spirit of God enters into them, raises them to life, washes them, makes them clean, and they are eternally secure until they stand before Jesus. I don't care if that's in Cedar Creek. I don't care if it's in whatever church you want to pick. Those are the people who will be in heaven. Just because you're a part of any kind of church doesn't mean anything. You, does that make sense? Anybody have any questions before I move forward on that? You're talking about what, judge not lest you be judged for what measure? I'm actually going to that tonight. But that's not speaking on salvation.
No.
Yeah, but I am going. It's funny you brought that up. There's, you know, here's the, a lot of things. Well, hold on that thought, okay? That doesn't deal with salvation. Jesus clearly, you study it for yourself. He was very exclusive. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way other than repentance and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it." Right. If you'll check the Gospels, they'll all say, "I believe the Gospel." Like, well, what Gospel do you believe? Because Paul said there's a lot of false Gospels.
You can also go back to the Old Testament, Micah, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them preached the same message of repentance.
Yep.
Jesus, Peter, Paul, James, John, all of them preached the message of repentance.
Yes. Yes.
Atonement for your sin.
Yes.
That's the scriptural teaching all through the Bible, and it's there everywhere.
And we'll dig into that a whole lot deeper when we deal with salvation. I just want to kind of clarify that, because that's what we're responsible for, is to guard that more than anything else. There's a lot of things I go, man, I'm not gonna argue over nothing. I'm not gonna part ways with people and say, is there anywhere you part? Absolutely, I will part over the gospel of Jesus. That's where I draw a line. When you go outside of that gospel right there, I'm not going to call you brother. I'm not going to be in fellowship with you. I'm not going to unite with you. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to try to reach you for Jesus. I'm going to love you. I'm not saying I'm going to judge and push away. I'm saying I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to treat you as though you believe the same gospel as me. And I know that makes people very uncomfortable, but study your Bible. Jesus spoke more of false conversions than he did anything else, and so did Paul.
Yeah, but also at the same time, you have to be careful to not write those people off, period.
No. You shouldn't write them, no.
You find that you don't agree with somebody with something.
Well, I'm done with you.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Write them off. They never converse with them again.
No.
That goes contrary to Scripture.
Yeah, our honestly, our church is full of folk. I don't know about who all here tonight, but our church is full of people who come from other denominations. Because the first thing I'm always going to do when you join, I'm going to sit down and go, tell me about how you know Jesus. And some, if you give me an answer like, well, when I was 8, I was baptized in that church, and or I was confirmed, or blah, 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 we're going to dig deep. Not because I want to judge you and make sure that I think you're right, because I love you and I want to make sure you believe the truth. What kind of pastor would go, yeah, we'll take you, and you end up in hell because he didn't care enough to call you into question so that you search your own heart? I can't judge your heart, but I can go, the scripture says this. What does that look like? I've had so many people, me and her, when we meet back here, they walk in there and go, oh yeah, I'm good. And that, and when you ask a person a question, that's why I want to ask you. That's why you should ask people. What does that mean to you? What does it mean that you're saved? Because you ask people they're saved, 90% of people go, oh yeah. Yeah. But it ain't kind of saved you're talking about. Yeah.
Then you're not doing it.
Yeah. And you know why I'm passionate about that? Because when I was a teenager, if you'd have said, sir, are you saved? I went, yeah. If I'd have died when I was a teenager, I'd be in hell today. And I went to a Baptist church my whole life, and I walked the aisle, and I went through this process of praying a prayer and doing all that stuff, but I did not even understand the process that the Bible teaches. And he should have took me and asked me questions and made sure that I understood what I was doing, instead of running me through like herding animals so I could stand in front of the church and everybody sing and shake my hand.
Yeah.
I'm against that.
Yeah.
I'm especially with kids. I'm going to tell you something. I want to take a kid and make sure that kid understands. A lot of people sitting in church go, I'm so happy that they want to be saved. Let's baptize them. I'm like, understand, I don't care if this kid gets baptized or not. I want to know if this kid knows Jesus. That's my concern. Then we'll baptize. All right. Y'all know where I'm at?
Amen.
I'm not angry because my face is red. I'm passionate about Jesus. All right. Now, so if you look at this, okay, from what we've looked at here, and calling the pastor an account here, and the one he's asking, again, you see that the pastor is the one who gives an account. He's the overseer of the church. It is my responsibility, Willie's responsibility, to guard our church, to protect our church from things like that. And in that, that's why, you know, a lot of the decisions made, be honest with you, biblically, and we can talk about this, should be made by the pastors. You know why? Because there's no such thing as a majority vote in the Bible. No such thing. Now, before anybody goes, oh, here he is taking control of the church, I don't care nothing about controlling the church. If you look at my leadership for the last 20 years, my leadership has been always open to the church. I always want unity. That's what I want. I didn't lord over my family, but somebody has to make critical decisions. You know, when you go on a vacation, you talk about it with your kids, you talk about it with your wife or your husband. You want unity, because a vacation is supposed to be good. The church is supposed to be good. I want unity. I want everything in the light. I don't like darkness. I don't have no shadow of darkness, okay? Not in my leadership, not in any area of my life. And so in that, think about this. Do you do your family by vote? All right, kids. If you got 3 kids, you're outvoted. You're always going to do what the kid wants to do. Does that make sense? You're the mom, dad. Yeah. I want to hear your view and this and that, but somebody has to make a decision and go, if mom and dad want to go to the beach and the kids want to go to Iceland, you don't go, all right, let's vote. Kids, boom, boom, boom. All right, we're going to Iceland. That's crazy. You see the reasoning in that?
We just saw right here that he didn't call the future committee in. He called the pastor.
Yeah. It's okay.
But allowing your church to, that's what it was. Sorry, got it. No, eventually it'll come to me.
Iceland.
About the pastors being who will answer to it.
Yeah.
God's going to the pastors. If you have a setting to where the church makes the decisions and the majority votes, how is the pastor held accountable if the church is the one making the decision?
Yeah, here's my trouble with that. If the church makes all the decisions and makes all the votes, I ain't fixing to clean up y'all mess. You understand what I'm saying? And again, I'm not saying, you're really not going to come up with a whole lot of decisions I can think of where I went, this is the decision I'm making. I don't lead like that. It's just like the deal with the country for missionary. You know what we do? We discuss it. We pray about it. We come together. But we don't have to, all right, everybody show me a lifting hands and voting. You understand what I'm saying? Is that what I'm saying making sense? That I don't want anybody going, he's trying to control everything in church. I will tell you what, you know why I'm a pastor for? because I love Jesus. I want to share the gospel with lost people. I want to teach you how good God is and how your life can be incredible if you follow Jesus and what he has for you to do. That's what I'm going to control. The rest of that junk, y'all can have it. You understand what I'm saying? Ain't no fun if you want to know the truth. Now we're going to talk about accountability. Any questions so far? Now we're going to talk about respect and accountability. Say, should you respect your pastor? You have to. If you don't have no respect for a pastor, you need to figure out why you don't. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll just use Willie tonight instead of me. That way I don't feel awkward in this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How should we treat Willie as our pastor? Because he's my pastor too. And he's a heck of a pastor. That's my view. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Man, there wasn't enough amens on that. Y'all people need to get right. Need to get right. All right, looking in verse. We're not in no hurry tonight. What time did I got? All right, good. Looking in verse 12 and 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13 says this. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish them. It's talking about your pastor. It's also talking about teachers, and to esteem them very highly in love. Why? For their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Funny how he wrote that right after that. Anyhow, say, why is it that we should respect and hold the pastor in high esteem, or hold the pastor in high esteem? Because what's said of your church leaders is a direct reflection on Jesus. That's my concern. Because when you go out, and I'm not saying you, but if a church or a church member goes out in the world and you're sitting there bad-mouthing your pastor in your church, you know who's hearing it and what they're thinking? Lost people are hearing it and they're thinking, I don't want nothing to do with no preacher or no church. That's why I don't go. That's what happens. Nobody wins. And number one, you shouldn't be gossiping and bad mouthing anyhow. If you got trouble with your pastor or anybody else, you should love them enough to go to them. Y'all with me? Okay. And I'm very approachable. Very approachable. And let me say this while I'm on this. If you ever have an issue with me, by all means, I want you to know my heart, because some people obviously don't know it. Number one, I always want to honor Jesus. No matter what, I want to honor the Lord. Number two, I will bow. I will bow to this book every time. If you show me the truth of God's word, I'm going to bow to the Bible. If I don't need to be a pastor. I love God's word. I believe God's word has produced excellence in my life, goodness. So I'm always want to bow to the Bible, okay? Number three, I don't care nothing about arguing. I've never, in my knowledge, tried to be hurtful to people or ugly to people or nothing. I've had some people go, you're just unapproachable. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm unapproachable. Well, you just, I'm like, why? Because when I speak, I get excited. And we just let me go, okay. I mean, this is not the type of person. I'm not a soft-handed, frail, you know, woman, man. I can't help it. You know, I had other people, well, you're just a bigger guy. And I'm like, what do you think I'm doing? It don't make no sense. If I've come off it that way, that's not the way I want to come off. You know, I'm like, you can come to me and you can talk and we can discuss. I've had people last, you know, two or three this week's come to me who had some very misunderstandings of some things going on. And they finally came and talked to me. I sat there and talked for about 2 hours to them. And at the end of it, we hugged. And it's like, that's totally different than what I was thinking. I'm like, thank you for coming and talking to me. I appreciate that greatly. So if y'all have any questions, right, or anything, we want you to know. We would love to talk with you and answer any questions you ever have concerning your leadership. Okay? Amen on that. Everybody's like, amen. All right. Now, I want you to look. Let me make sure I don't. Okay. Now, I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy. I want everybody to look here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. So there is accountability. No leader should have no accountability. There are some pastors who are like, you don't call the Lord's man in check. And like, oh, yeah, we do. As a leader, you better make sure you have accountability. Even if the church don't hold you accountable, you better make sure that you have accountability. And I have established a great amount of accountability in this church in my leadership. And so as Willie, number one, we hold each other accountable. Our leadership holds us accountable, and you as a church hold us accountable. And here's the thing, I'm with Willie. I'm all about accountability. When you look in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I want to show you how you do this, though. You always want to do things scriptural. Chapter 5, verse 17 says, let the elders who rule well, elders word pastor there, let the elders rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. That would be me. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. I'm sorry, did I tell y'all something different? Then verse 19 says this. Here's what I want you to focus in on. Do not receive an accusation against an elder. What does that mean? Don't listen to it. There's going to be a lot of people who accuse, a lot of people who gossip, a lot of people who say, a lot of people who talk, a lot of people who slander, a lot of people who say things that are not true. Some of them just saying it because they heard it from somebody else and they thought it was true, took it true. And all of a sudden you got all these accusations. This says, don't receive an accusation about an elder except from two or three witnesses. And those who are sinning, rebuke where? In the presence of all, that the rest may also fear. How do you go about holding one a pastor in accountability? Number one, there should be accountability, and it should be done so with eagerness by the pastor. Any leader, let me say this, if you hold a position, any position of leadership in this church, you're going to be held accountable. You're going to be called into account. That's what happens with leaders. We get caught. I've been called into account 50 times in the last couple of months. And here's where I'm at. I do it with eagerness. You're willing to call me and ask me any question. I look forward to you asking me my questions. Any question you got, anything you hear, if you wonder and you want to establish that, please, by all means, come. No, I'm not in a defensive mode. I mean, I'm like, heck yeah, I'm glad to give an account for my ministry. I have zero to hide in my ministry, in my life, in my walk with the Lord. And so it doesn't bother me at all. If the deacons wants to go, hey, we need to talk to you about something, good. I'd love to give an account. I love to give an account because I'm blameless before God. I'm not saying that righteously, but I'm saying I don't. And if you need to bring something out, I might be stupid of it or blind of it and go, all right, I need to get that in check. Because if a leader wants to be a leader's harsh, you go, I want to be right with the Lord. I want to be right with the word. And sometimes we might just be doing something goofy that we don't even know. And a brother loves us enough to go, hey, I need to call you in to check. And you know what? You're going to get right when they do that. You're going to be like, all right. Unless your heart's wrong, then all of a sudden you're going to get defensive. Are y'all with me? Oh, yeah. Secondly, everything of that accusation be established in the setting of a few witnesses. If you're going to call a person in to check, there needs to be some witnesses there who can establish everything that's said and done. Thirdly, if the accusation, which is, notice, the involvement of sin. Now here's the thing. If you're going to accuse somebody, don't come accuse me and go, well, you know what, you're this and this. If it's a matter of the heart, I'm going to be like, see, and I've heard this recently. Well, you know, you got control. I'm like, dude. It's a judgment of the heart. Let me judge you. You know, it's like he was saying, you can't judge somebody because you're going to be called the same measure. You know what I think? Because of this and this, you're this. Well, then I'm going to think this about you. Does that mean anything? It's talking about open, blatant sin. It's open, blatant sin.
There's a difference in calling someone account because of how you feel about them versus how they're treating God's word.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And so let me say this. It should be established as true and then brought before the church as a whole for the purpose of what? Repentance and restoration. Right. Repentance and restoration. If I stand up here and say something that ain't right, or if you see me out, let's say you see me out and I'm on the corner selling weed.
No, I got one.
All right.
You and Willie are both involved in sex trafficking. And
why we got that? That's like some other things. Yeah, right. Let's say she's going to accuse us of that. Now she could go around, start gossiping, slandering, lying, talking, all that. But she should, number one, biblically, Matthew 18, she should come to us
right.
and go, all right, I got some concern because I, for some reason, she came up with that, okay? Oh, everybody, no, that is not true, all right? But, and here's where I'm at. I'm ready to give an account. I'm like, all right, what evidence do you got? What made you think that crazy story, da-da-da? And she would present that. Now, if she's got solid evidence, and I ain't hearing it, she needs to get two or three women, get some of the deacons, get another pastor, get, you know, somebody, and come back and go, now they're there to listen to the discussion that every word would be established. Truth would be established, and I would come into a place of repentance, go, okay, hang on, I ain't gonna sell weed no more, all right? and you understand what I'm saying? That's the whole point of it, to call somebody to repentance and restoration. You do everything out of love.
So you're supposed to be given an opportunity to repent.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Do you? Witnesses are for you can't go back and say, well, he told me this, and he told me that.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, the witness is there to go, hey, if you're doing this, we need to help you stop this. And be like, okay. Now, I'm not saying if I'm selling weed, y'all leave me as the pastor, okay? Because there's certain criteria in the office.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean you go, boom, you're out of here.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Any church discipline is always for the purpose to gain a brother.
Restoration.
There's never a place where it's like, boom, we're cutting you off because what hope do you got then? Think about this, if a church does discipline on a member, you have to have a route for that member to be restored. That's the whole point.
Most churches, when they find the sin that's so horrific or horrible, they usually just throw him out.
Yeah, right. That's not biblical.
Or they
leave and go somewhere, and that's not biblical. That's not biblical. That's why we got 40,000 churches in Palestine. Yes.
That the people can't go back and say blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No, that's not what happened.
Yes. And in case anybody's wondering, I ain't involved in nothing. But if you want to ask me, you can ask me, okay? I know it. I'm telling you. She said that with passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with the three jobs I got.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's say this. Here's one. Let's say that you're going to accuse me of being involved in finances, which no pastor in this church is involved with anything to do with money, and we never have been. But let's say you say, we're going to accuse you or accuse somebody, we're going to accuse David or Terry of mishandling the finances. Okay, you don't go out and start jabbering to people and go, I think this and I think that and I feel this and I feel that. That's called gossip, slander, sin, defamation of character. God judges that very harshly.
There's what, the difference between I think and I feel and I have proof.
Right. And so you would, and honestly, about 4 years ago, a word came up to me on a Sunday morning concerning me and my family, and the word was embezzlement. Mm-hmm. Embezzlement. That word got thrown out, and I was like, hold on just a second. You know what I do? I love bringing it. Let's bring it into the light. Let's bring it into the light. So we're going to meet tonight, and whoever said it, we're going to bring that into the light. We're going to bring everything to do with my family in the light. We're going to bring, you know, and here's the thing, Terry and David, you know, well, how do we know this? Well, here's what we'll do. We'll take the church records. We'll go up to the bank. We'll pull out the bank account records, and they're going to match perfectly, 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 perfectly. And if there's an accusation after that, you heading out the door. Because I'm not going to have that spirit in the church. And that's biblical.
And they should actually publicly
apologize. Apologize, yes.
Well, you know, also the person bringing up the accusation, they have to answer to it as well.
Yeah.
They have to answer to it.
Yes.
The difference in bringing something to the light and with the desire that that person, you know, is reconciled.
Yes.
Not the point just to get them out.
Right.
If they come to that point to attack somebody, to call somebody
personally,
to leave or to
yeah.
make
Yeah.
If the situation is correct,
yeah.
the reasoning might be correct, but the heart in which you do it, if that's wrong, you as the accuser will be judged.
Yeah.
God for that as well.
Yeah. Let me say this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16-17, it's talking about the temple. The context is speaking not to individual, but the church, the local church. And he said, do you not know you're the temple of God? And he who destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. Think about that. gossip and slander and lies and all that stuff, that's destroying the temple of God. That scares me. That's why I'm going to keep my lip zipped. And I'm going to try to handle things according to Scripture. This is the last thing, and next week we'll... All right, just in case, y'all write this down and study it for yourself, because I don't even like talking about this. Like I say, let me say this about me and Willie. We've never asked for a salary, not one time. Never expect a salary. Greatly appreciate what the church does, because it enables us to do the ministry in a far greater way, but never ask for a salary. If you ever want to take money back, take it. We have zero to do with finances. Is it scriptural to pay a pastor? 100%. 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18, we just read it. And double honor, the word honor there is talking about money. Do not muzzle the ox that treads the corn, okay? Again, I'm not trying to promote you take care of me as a pastor, because I don't mind working a bit, and y'all know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 14, read that. 9, 6 through 14. Luke chapter 10. Verse 1 through 7. If y'all give me 5 minutes, we'll be done with this lesson. We'll go to deacons next week. Those are on should you pay a pastor. Study it up, Google it, whatever you want to do. But I wrote this, and I want to read it to you. Pastors here have no dealings with money. We never have. We've never asked nor expected for a salary, but we're grateful for what the church does. We are absolutely, totally transparent in every areas of our life. Now, I'm not speaking for Willie right now, but I am speaking for me and my family. You're welcome to see our bank account. You're welcome to look at our checkbook. You're welcome to check our tithing records. We have them. Check me for the last 40 years on that. I'm not being prideful. I just want to clear the air. Check me on that. Check you want to look at our taxes return or however, whatever that little thing is, you know, they give you. Now, I'm going to try to cut everything out of that I can, okay? But you're welcome to see it. You're welcome to see what we spend our money on, how we get money. You can look at my phones, my texts for the last however far our phone goes back. You can look at anything else. We are open and transparent. Both of my boys said, we'll stand in front of the church. And anybody who wants to look at any of that stuff, you're more than welcome. I want you to know that you can follow me, and I'm a man of integrity. And I'm not saying it arrogantly or pridefully. I'm just saying I'll go into account. But there's only one thing. This is where that verse comes in. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not lest you be judged. For what measure of judgment you hold a man to, you will hold to that measure. If you want to see all that stuff, bring yours when you come, because I want to see yours. Because I'm willing. I have zero shadows in my life. I don't care what anybody knows. I'll tell you what I make, what I don't make. I make money outside of the church. I work not as much anymore, because y'all enabled me not to have to do that. But for 18 years, I worked 50 hours a week, and a lot of y'all worked with me. And busting it. And so, you know, here's where I'm at. I know there's a lot of people go, must be nice to sit around and do nothing too. Amen. So that's where I'm at. We don't have anything to hide whatsoever. Zero to hide. And I just want you to know that. That's why I say, you want to call us an account? Good. You want to look at my phone? Pull it out. I'll put every text I've put for the last year up here. I'll put every website. You're welcome to let my wife will do the same thing. You can look at anything. Anything with us. And that's not just talking. But when you come, I want your phone too. That's where I'm at. So, that's just finally finishing up. Let's look at Hebrews, this last one. I could tell y'all a story. Here, I'm going to tell you this while you turn there. So when we was at Denison Springs Baptist Church, We was fresh in the ministry. We didn't have a clue what we were getting into. We invited a lot of people over to the house to celebrate a birthday party. It's Jeremy's birthday. We invited a lot of people over to the house. In case you wonder what some of the things your pastors experience, all the church coming, we having a good time outside. The party was outside. And then a couple of ladies in church, like, where's the restroom at? Like, right inside that door right there. You can't miss it. About 15 minutes later, my wife walks in the house. She didn't even know they was in there. Walks in there, walks all the way down the hall, into the bedroom, in through the bathroom, and into the master closet where they were going through her drawers. Literally, her drawers.
Wow.
Looking. I'm like, oh, we're just looking at your house. I'm like, whoo. Now you're going to talk about controlling that sister? Yes. Did I have to try to help control her? Yes, I did. And rightfully so. So after that, I'm like, we better be pretty transparent. or lock the doors. Yeah. So I'm just like, some people have no idea what some people in church think of their that their pastor family. Well, just because you're a pastor, it means we have access to everything. Well, y'all must be nuts, is what I got to say. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I have no idea. I have no idea to answer that question. All right. I just thought y'all thought that was funny. It is. It's very weird, very sad. So there's a lot of reason behind some of the things we do, why we do what we do. All right. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember those who have rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow." It means look at their faith. You know what Jesus said? How do you know that you have a true teacher? Do y'all know? How do you know that your teacher is true, your pastor is true? What is it? Matthew chapter 7 says you will know him by their fruits. You know a tree by its fruits. So if you want to know if a teaching is true, if a pastor or teacher is true, look at the fruits of their life. Look at the fruits of their life. Their faith follows. Do you live what you say you believe? And if he does, you know what? Y'all it says, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now look in verse 17. Obey those who have rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. That's my responsibility. That's Willie's responsibility. We're not concerned about the color of the carpet or programs. Or I'm not concerned about. What I'm concerned about is one day me and you is going to stand before Jesus and I'm going to give an account for your soul. That's my concern. That's the only thing that's going to be there that day. We have to give an account. So as those who, notice what it says, for they watch out for, as those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief. Why? Because that's unprofitable for you. So what should the relationship be between a church and a pastor? I think we ought to love one another, honor one another. As your shepherd, Jesus loved his sheep. He laid down his life for his sheep. He was friends with them. They did life together. They encouraged one another. They stood for one another. They served together for the glory of God. They were family. That's my heart for you. And I know that for most of you, that's our heart for us. Any questions or comments before we move through the pastor? Anybody got any pastor questions that I didn't cover that you need to ask? Yeah.
So I want to go back to chapter 5, verse 10. I think you need to go a little bit further in the verse.
Go ahead. Where are you at, brother? What was that?
Chapter 5 of 1 Timothy.
Okay. I got you.
So, to me, and tell me if I'm interpreting that wrong, you know, differently, but if somebody comes to me and says, all right, Pastor Randall did this, that tells me that if there really is an issue here, don't prejudge, come to you with it. Say,
yes.
I heard this.
Yes.
Because I think that this is causing a lot of issues in the church.
Yes.
Where things are getting drawn out because people are believing everything they hear.
Yes.
Instead of coming to you. Saying right there, don't get caught up in the sins of others.
Yes.
And don't prejudge. I mean, I think that's real important for us right now when we hear things to go, okay, this is what I heard. And if I'm concerned about it, call me. Hey, I heard this. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think it's important.
Yeah. I agree. That's a good point, brother. Anything else?
Unwarranted, all of it's unwarranted. And I'm a
tell everybody something. Most of y'all have been in this church for a long time, and you've sat under his leadership and mine. Listen, we've got to give an account for you, but you need to give an account for what you're following as well. This brother, or I say something wrong, or do something that you think's wrong, don't you think that we want to correct it?
Yes.
Why would we, above all people in this church, why in the world would I want to stand before a holy God and give an account for something that I done to you and not know it? You're doing us a grave injustice if you think we're doing anything. I'm begging, please. If you got an issue or question for me,
or
don't
me.
Leave.
Or me.
Or
yeah.
This brother.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to do is stand before God one day and not know that I didn't do right by you.
Yeah.
My heart is to do right by everybody.
Yeah.
I have no aught with anybody.
No.
I have no aught with the people that have left or their decision to leave. If you want to leave, that I hate it. But if you feel if your feelings or whatever it is making you want to leave, or if God's calling you away from here, I'm not going to stop you from a call of God ever. If you're leaving for the wrong reasons, God will deal with you.
That's right. Amen.
Not me, but I don't want my heart is to represent you well.
Mm-hmm.
In everything that I do, in my teaching,
mm-hmm.
where I fall short, in my preaching, where I fall short, I don't ever want to fall. I don't mind falling short in any one of those categories, but loving you, I don't want to fall short there.
Mm.
Because I love y'all,
mm-hmm.
believe that or not, and I know that
right.
brother heart. And I'll say this: if you attack him, you attack me. I'll stand back to back with him, and like Joab, I know where the fifth and sixth rib is. I'll fight back to back with the sword, whatever y'all want to bring. Don't attack him in front of me, please.
Well, and the attack against him should be, and our you should be all of our attacks.
That's exactly right.
That's
you know?
Exactly what I'm saying.
Because we are all family.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But I stand for his character, and his wife's more than that. I'd rather fight him both as boys than her.
I'm so sweet.
Well,
he knows I'm sweet.
See, ultimately, I love everybody, and we want peace and truth. That's what we want. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get out of here. Lord, I love you. Thank you for your word. God, thank you that we can always rest in it, and that we can build our lives upon it. We can expect goodness and favor and blessing and truth and correction and when we need it, because we all need it at times, Lord. I just pray, Father, above all, that your spirit would fill our hearts with your love. God, we can't produce anything. We can just surrender and humble ourselves and ask. Thank you, Jesus, that you always hear that prayer and you always answer it. Pray we come together, and Lord, to magnify you, Jesus. That's what I want conversations to be about. Our purpose here at this church is to magnify you and to reach lost people. Lord, to show your love to our community. Just pray that you bless each one here tonight as we go out this week. Father, I pray you would use us to be a light and to bring hope to people. God, just love my church family and thank you for them. And I ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.